We're going to begin here with our friend of the show, Mike Medina. And on the phone is James Polk from Los Angeles. Are you there, James?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for joining us. Now, we've got you guys on to talk about Jerry's Palm Tavern in Bronzeville, the late, great club. I was there a couple times, and Jerry was your mother, James.
Yes.
And before we get into that, I want to talk to Mike about what you're trying to do to have people remember the club. And talk a little bit about the history of the club. It existed at one time.
Right,
it's gone
now. Right, it is gone now. Much missed. It's been gone for about 17 or 18 years. But it existed at 47th and Vincennes, in between King Drive and Vincennes, from 1933 until 2001. And Jerry bought it. From the founder in 1956.
That's what I got.
And ran it until it closed. And because of, you know, 47th and King being the center of black metropolis, and the tavern being directly around the corner from the Regal Theater, and just kind of that intersection, it became a place where everybody went to, and it was pretty posh. It was, you know, it wasn't just some dive. It was a place to see and be seen from its earliest days until the very end.
When I met Jerry in I think it was 94, 95, I was a little late to the scene, but yeah, she told me, and James, you can verify this stuff, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, she told me that Herbie Hancock would still come in and check at the place. It was because of the proximity to the Regal. That was, I mean, I think she told me that after a show, people would come over to the Palm Tavern, adjourn to the Palm Tavern and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
James, what are your memories of that?
Well, I remember Count Basie. I remember Joe Williams. All of them doing their intermissions over at the Regal Theater. They would sneak out the back door, come over, have a couple of drinks, and then go back over to do the second show or the third show, whichever was going on. In my recollection, it was a lot of fun. It was the place to be, you know. The Palm Tavern was the place. Only thing I can say, being a son of Jerry Oliver, I just enjoyed the whole scenery. I can remember Paul Chambers and, you know, all of the stars out of the Miles Davis group, all of those guys used to be around the Palm Tavern. What can you say when you was in the mix, living it, but didn't realize that you were making history, you know?
It wasn't a large club where I remember there were palm trees on the, Mike, were you there?
Yeah.
There were palm trees on the walls, pictures of D. Clark, big black and white pictures.
Right. Like, and then there were the photos that were on the wall. There was, you know, the club was like original to when it was built. I mean, nothing had changed. And on top of just the history that was there, it was Jerry's humanity about making you feel like you were special and you were welcome. And it didn't matter what walk of life you came from or who you were, if you were famous or not famous. And that was why I took to it and people I brought there. It was just this warmth from her that just carried everybody. And everybody in the room, every time you were there, that spread to everybody that was in the room. So you were always among friends, even if you didn't know anybody. I missed that a lot.
So you're leading a drive to get, Mike, you just started this, a petition to get that section of the street named in honor of the Palm Tavern.
Right. I tried a number of years here and there, and I talked to Mr. Polk about it a number of, you know, we've been talking about it for a few years. You know, they should just give one of those brown street signs, call it Jerry Oliver Way, 47th, just that one block of stretch, because the building's gone and there's nothing there now. There's no monuments. There's nothing, you know. And so I approached the city and the city councilman about it 3 or 4 times and was told no. And then last year in 2017, the rules changed to how they're going to award those signs. So now, as of like 6 months ago, the person that's getting a sign needs to be dead. And
Jerry's still alive, right, James?
Yes. Yeah. My mother's still alive. Matter of fact, she's talkative as ever. And a lot of times I talk to her about the palm to heaven, and she chimes in and laughs and smiles about the things that used to go on in the palm to heaven. And
James, how old is she now, James?
My mother now is 99 years of age.
Isn't that something?
And she's very alert. I was out there with her last Sunday. She's very alert, and she talks about a lot of things. Matter of fact, I've called on my cell phone to talk to Mr. Medina, mm-hmm. but I was unable to catch up with him, and my mother wanted to talk to Mr. Medina. And I said, "Hey, Mom, I'm calling Mike now." She looked at me like, "Well, okay, get him on the line, you know."
We did get to talk last week.
Where's she at? Is she out she's west?
She's in a nursing home up in Santa Monica. Okay. I had to go to Mississippi and bring her out here with me because going back and forth to Mississippi just took a toll on me. So I said, "Well, it's best to just bring my mother close to me, have her out here." And I go out and visit her twice a week. I go out on Thursdays and Sundays and spend 2, 3, 4 hours with my mother.
Oh, that's good for you.
Oh, yeah, we talk a lot and reminisce about the old times. And every so often when she hears some music that she's familiar with, she'll perk up and look around as if to say, "Oh, I'm back in my day, you know."
Yeah, right. That happens. You know, they should waive this rule for 99 years old.
So I started an online petition a few weeks ago. If you go to ipetitions.com and look Jerry Oliver, G-E-R-R-I, you can see it there. I'm not sure. It's kind of like a Hail Mary pass. I just want to throw it up to see if we can get enough signatures to present it to say, "Look, can we? Is there something we can do beyond this?" I mean, we go out. We try to get out there once a year to visit her.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we do.
We're good.
We're planning the trip in the spring.
Is that important to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. She's family.
Yeah. You know. I would have to say that Mr. Medina has come out here so many times, and I tell my mother all the time, I said, "This is indeed a true friend of yours." And she looks at me like, as if to say, "Yeah, I know." Because Mr. Medina, he and his wife have been out here several times and met me over at the nursing facilities and visit with my mother. So I really appreciate what Mr. Medina is doing.
James?
And I don't know. Yes.
Were you a city council member in Los Angeles?
No, I was a senior legislator. Okay. I stayed up in the senior legislature for about... So I was an advocate for seniors, and I'm still a commissioner with the Department of Aging for Los Angeles County, you know. Although I'm retired, I'm stepping down from a lot of activities now, but I'm still active in the senior advocacy.
How long have you, this is leading to another question. How long have you been in Los Angeles, James?
I've been in Los Angeles since 1958.
Oh, wow. So 60 years.
I've come out here. I've gone to Long Beach State and UCLA. I did all of my teacher training out of UCLA. I've taught on the community college level and taught in the L.A. Unified School District. And I retired out of the L.A. Unified School District with 35 years of service.
Well, Mike's been on the show before, and so based on your career in politics and also in the arts, and Mike knows where I'm going to go with this, in Chicago, this is something we've talked about on the show before, is why do you think we're so bad at preservation here in Chicago? I'm worried this is going to happen in the Muddy Waters house every chance I get.
I don't know. And in particular, the Palm Tavern, how it died and why it died was so petty and vindictive. There's a lot of it out there. You can look it up.
Let's take a break because we'll bring in Fernando, and maybe we can get into that with Fernando on the phone. So we're going to take a break for some spots, and we'll come back with our panel after this on WGN.
But it's home, yeah. The only life I'd ever known. But the Lord knows I loathe tobacco road.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720, and we're paying a tribute to Jerry's Palm Tavern, the late great club over in Bronzeville, 47th between King Drive and Vincennes. Mike Medina, who's leading a charge to get a street named, since there's nothing else left. And on the phone from Los Angeles, we have James Polk, who's the son of Jerry Oliver, the owner. And joining us is our friend Fernando Jones. How are you there, Fernando, from Los Angeles?
I'm here. How you doing? How you doing, James?
Hello. How you doing, Fernando?
Good.
And Fernando, blues performer, educator. You're at the NAMM convention, right, in Anaheim? Is that right?
Yes, I'm right here at the Hilton Hotel.
And you're on. Thanks for taking time to join us on a Saturday night. You're on because of the play you did about Jerry's. I was there when the blues was red hot. That really resonated with people. It ran about, 3 years, 98 to 2001?
Yeah, it ran 3 years. Well, it was really special because Mama Jerry gave us an opportunity to run the play there. It was scheduled to run October 2nd and 9th of 1998, and it was so successful that it continued to run. And one of our little catchy numbers to it, we would say it's free to get in and $10 to get out.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah,
and it was, the setup was like the performers are part of the club or something. I mean, how was it set up, the play?
It was an interactive play.
Yeah, right.
And the club was perfect for it. I grew up under the tutelage of my older brothers, Foree, Greg, and Marvin. And we come from that Teresa's Lounge family at 4801 South Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And Miss Needham, who was Teresa, and Mama Jerry, they attended Corpus Christi Church together. And so it was just a natural matriculation from one part of my life to another when I started writing plays. And basically what I did was I brought my life of a young blues man, as well as the life of some of the blues men who had gone on, like Junior Wells and Lefty Diz and so on and so forth, to bring them to life in the form of a play and tell my story, as well as address, socioeconomic concerns, the racial concerns of the blues and things that blues men and women talk about when they're with each other, not necessarily out in public. So I think that resonated highly with people.
We held this question. I wanted you to get in on it before we took the commercial break, but what happened? Why? I mean, I was there in 94, 95. Such a great sense of history the minute you walked in the room. I mean, you were talking about the people going there to drink during the breaks, kind of like what they do at Tootsie's in Nashville with the Grand Ole Opry. But why did it go away? What happened for all three gentlemen on the phone?
As far as I know, there had been plans for, there was kind of like a gentrification plan for 47. They said, we're going to turn this into a blues district.
Right.
And so the powers, the landowners and the politicians involved in that neighborhood kind of put a target on the Palm Tavern to say, well, this is where we want the center to be and she's in our way. So whatever we need to do to kind of make her retire, we're going to make it happen, and then we're going to take it over and make it new. And, of course, nobody wanted that to happen. Jerry didn't want it to happen. And nobody who'd ever been to the tavern said, we're not going to lie down and just let you take this over. So there was a pretty prolonged battle about it, of which, Fernando and myself and Mr. Polk from afar were involved in.
It closed in 2001, according to stuff that I read, maybe reported for the Sun-Times. The city declared the building unsafe. That was the word.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was, the building needed work, but I've seen what gets saved in this city, and there's certainly, they could have certainly tried a lot harder. It really opened my eyes to kind of if there are plans to do something and you're going to try to get in the way of it, they're not going to let that happen, you know, like even if it means something good.
Fernando, we got a couple minutes left. Fernando, can you add to that? Because you're such a part of the
season. Well, I agree. And I was going to say a good day at Home Depot could have saved the tap. And it was a social center, and it went beyond just being a place where we played music and ran a play. And it was important to that whole Bronzeville area. You know, that was the downtown area for people of color, African-American descent, you know, back in the day. And it was something that should have been saved. And when we drive by there, my contemporaries and I, we miss it. We missed that lot. And then to see that from July of 2001 all the way until now, that it's really nothing there. There's an art structure there, but it was a shame. You know, we could use all the big words that we want, but it was a shame. It's a shame that it didn't have an opportunity to survive. And we did everything we could. We fought. You know, I remember the attorney Frost came in and started helped doing a lot of, I guess, like a pro bono work to keep it going. And the fact that we were doing the play there, when the city came down on the Palm Tavern, they didn't know that anything was happening. And the fact that we were running the play, that gave us a great reason to keep the doors open. Then we started getting press. I know Howard Reich did a really big piece. The University of Illinois at Chicago Alumni Magazine did a big piece. And so Mama Jerry had some protectors, you know, to help keep it open. But once again, it's a shame that it didn't last.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. Mike, give us how people can at least get behind the sign thing.
If you go to iPetitions.com and look up Jerry Oliver, G-E-R-R-I, Oliver, there's a petition there to award her an honorary Chicago street sign. And that's all I'm looking for.
If it's an empty lot, right? Why don't you have a summer concert there or something?
Do something there.
Keep music alive in the lot, you know? Anyway, thank you. Thanks, James Polk, for joining us. And thank you, Fernando. You got to come in the studio sometime, Fernando.
Just invite me, and I'll be there.
All right. And thanks, Mike, for bringing this, getting on the bandwagon with this, and we'll see you all again. And we're going to be back after this with Dr. Eric Heiberg on WGN.